Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to our Action Research Podcast, created by the HEAR Lab team at the University of Houston. The HEAR Lab is the hub for engaged action research, and the mission of the lab is to build the capacity of scholars to create and disseminate collaborative, accessible, anti-racist research that centers community and fuels social change. Through hosting different activities such as walk and learns, webinars, or disseminating one-page research briefs, the team hopes to amplify research beyond articles and connect scholars to one another. Research should be done to create an impact. And by hosting this podcast, the hope is to have more awareness around anti-racist research approaches, as well as seeing how research goes beyond articles to connect to practice and policy. You are listening to your host, Anil Arora, and today we welcome Devante Hill, who is a community health worker at the University of Houston Graduate College Social Work, and works with homeless youth and LGBTQ+ for outreach. Allie Kramer Jacobs, a second-year doctoral student whose research focuses on supporting survivors of gender-based violence and well-being among service providers. And Dr. Sarah Narendorf, associate professor and associate dean for research and faculty development at the Graduate College of Social Work. Her own research focuses on understanding how to support young people in the transition to adulthood, particularly those that have an additional challenges of navigating housing instability, mental health challenges, foster care transition, and legal system. They'll all be talking and trying to understand young people's experiences with law enforcement while homeless and better understand how to support young people experiencing housing instability both within and outside of the legal system. The study was co-created by the Homeless Youth Initiative Health Fellows Devante Hill and Cami Bush. We look forward to connecting with listeners by encouraging reflection and conversation. Stay in touch or share your thoughts by tagging us on Twitter at GCSW HEAR Lab. Thank you for joining us, y'all. Today, we look forward to hearing how your research is social justice oriented, constructed with anti-racist principles, how the team disseminates research findings, and really next steps, what we should all do from there. Let's begin by having you share with our listeners what the research project focuses on.
Well, this research project focused on homeless youth and their interactions with law enforcement. And with the help of my housing navigator, Ms. Patrice Williams, I got connected with Dr. Nurendorf and the Simmons Foundation at the University of Houston. And with my other coworker, Cami Bush, we came up with the topic. And it was important to me because I personally was in the foster care system and I dealt with incarceration and instability in housing.
What we kind of did with this project was really an opportunity to, with the funding from the Simmons Foundation, look at having some individuals, young adults with lived expertise, bringing and building their capacity to participate in research. So this was a project that really was led by Devante and Cami in order to start, you know, engaging with individuals experiencing housing instability to learn more about their interactions with law enforcement. So really driven from individuals and bringing people to the table with experience to lead and be a part of this project.
Cami and Devante, with some support from Allie, came up with this question, and then we connected with our partners at the Drop-In Center Grace Place here in Houston, and we're able to connect and do some focus groups with young people and really get their perspectives on how they come into contact with law enforcement, what those experiences are like, and, you know, what we could do potentially to make that whole situation better. One of the things that Cami and Devante really brought up that I hadn't thought a lot about was that young people have a lot of contact with law enforcement, but they don't often actually contact law enforcement when they're the victims of crime. And that's something that, like, we know a lot about my research and the research of others. We know that young people experiencing homelessness are victimized at very high rates. So the idea that they don't call the police, so their police are coming and they're experiencing, you know, arrest, getting tickets for camping on the street, all these kinds of things. But then when they are victims of crime, they are feeling like they want to call the police. So that's one of the things we explored in these focus groups that I think was really interesting, a dimension that came directly from Cami and Devante and the experiences that they've had.
Thank you all for sharing that. It's wonderful to hear how organically this research has come together with individuals from the community, with lived expertise, and with individuals in the academic system, really putting together the brains of everyone and being able to create focus groups and opportunities to hear from individuals with lived experiences and how that can, in the future, create opportunities to have better interactions. So for everyone present, could we begin by discussing how this work contributes to social justice?
Sure. So social justice for me encompasses a lot of things. Some of the notes that I kind of took down and just thinking about this was really that social justice centers respect and equity and really the act of upholding the rights that everyone deserves. So I feel like this research is directly connected to that because rights to safety is something that all individuals need, deserve for their well-being, and really examining and looking at law enforcement's role in that, but also how we create and expand those spaces for individuals, young adults who are developing, growing, involved in these spaces, how we can really support them in the best way that they are deserving of.
Yeah, so just to build on what Ali said, really taking this approach with the questions that really came from young people's experiences, and then to think about how do we get their voices guiding the work so that we can improve experiences. So really our connection to social justice and really, Anil, you mentioned anti-racist research as well, really, thinking about research questions not coming from researchers, but coming from the people who are the true experts about their experiences, and then allowing, our training as researchers to kind of foster and support that work so that we can really do rigorous research that has impact, that really actually makes change. So that's, that was the approach we wanted to take. I'll pass it over to Devante. He could tell us what that experience was like and, just build a little bit more.
Thank you, Doctor. Well, I was going to say, just to piggyback off of what Ali was saying, well, the work that we're doing, I think that is important because being a part of the LGBT community, being a part of the youth homeless community, we are victimized and I've been victimized. And I think that the work I'm doing is bringing light to those vulnerable populations that don't have a voice at the table. And I have a voice at the table and at the dinner table and trying to get it to the next level of making this work. It's impactful now because I guess I was like the first health fellow in the program. And now we have two other health fellows and they're Black LGBTQ men, and they have voices that are being pretty impactful in the society and taking it to the next level, building our capacity to do more things, doing research. And how was it doing research? It was a heck of an experience because I've never did focus groups before. And we did 4 focus groups in Montrose last year in 2020, and it was pretty cool. It was interesting. I remember going back a little bit, just being there. It was, for me, it wasn't like, I didn't know get involved, vocalizing and participating a little bit, more or less just sitting back and witnessing. And as I always say, being on the other side of the fence for the first time and seeing what it's like to be a youth who's overcome a lot of different things through this program, who's helped me to overcome those things, and the support system. I like to always talk about Ali, Dr. Narendorf, the MSW students, they're all support, and all these other people are in different places that come together to help build the support for young scholars like myself.
Awesome. And Devante, one of your quotes that I just picked out that I heard was being on the other side of the fence. And it sounds, when we're talking about this research really contributing to social justice, talking about raising awareness, talking about those unjust challenges that occur and so many times go unseen. It's also fantastic to hear from the team and really how we're aiming to create solutions for these inequalities, based on those inequalities from resources, inequalities of opportunities, or even access. So now that we've heard a little bit about what this work is doing in terms of contributing to social justice, let's transition, Dr. Narendra, if you were talking about anti-racist approaches and that community aspect. Could you all share a little bit more about how this research demonstrates those anti-racist approaches?
Yeah, so thanks, Anil. I was talking a little earlier about, you know, where does the research come from? Who's generating those research questions? So, you know, anti-racist research really is about, having questions that are created by community, because what we want to do with our research is to have impact. So the idea is not, while we are working with one of our other faculty, Dr. Bartholomew, to publish the results of this in a peer-reviewed journal, we're also trying to take the results of what we've learned through this and bring them back to the community at Grace Place to hear back from them. And then to think about, well, who needs to hear this? How can we use what we learned to actually improve the situation? Devante's talking about raising awareness. That's one piece. For us also thinking about, well, how can what we learned actually inform, you know, maybe a different perspective to these problems? I know one of the things that really jumped out for me that we learned is around sort of this, the structural sort of the system structure that the police and young people experiencing homelessness are kind of caught in. That's another way of thinking about anti-racist research too, is looking beyond people to also looking at systems. And we really saw that in this work, in that young people experiencing homelessness are frequently, you know, breaking laws of various kinds, trespassing, they're in sort of, you know, there's assaults happening on the streets, all kinds of things are happening that the police's job is to kind of come in and intervene on those. But by the police intervening, we don't actually solve the problem that's the root cause of that, which is the housing instability. And so we saw this sort of trap that, you know, police are also caught in that they're doing their jobs, young people are doing what they need to survive, and no one is actually transcending this situation to like get people's well-being taken care of. And so I think, you know, that is sort of an illustration of, you know, anti-racist research and thinking beyond people to systems. You know, what's not what's wrong with the police, but what's wrong with the structure that brings them into these situations where they actually can't help young people.
Well, that was one element of like the whole research process, basically with Juan, like getting different perspectives, but also thinking outside of the box of just judging people, I guess. You know what I mean? Just making judgments on people and their actions, and giving highlight to like that people do these things, or the youth are doing these things, or just homeless people in general are committing these crimes because out of necessity to survive. Not necessarily that they're bad people, but at the same time, highlighting the police too, and they have a job to do. So not like personalizing or not criminalizing the people or the police, because they're both being criminalized, but also just criminalizing the structure, the judicial system or whatever.
So I think one of the things that as a student was really interesting in this space to sit looking at this community-based like participatory approach to this is a space where we can break down power structures and kind of the hierarchy really to give everyone an equal place at the table. And that process really involved a lot of like us examining where our own biases and coding data and looking at stuff to making sure that we were coming from a place that wasn't with our biases showing, right? Explicit and implicit, that it really was about doing this project together and giving power to voices that maybe have not had the same opportunities for power that some of us have in the room and in the space. So being able to be kind of constantly engaged in that and making sure that we're getting multiple perspectives really at the table, I think is a really important part, Devante, yeah.
And bringing this back, I think it's fantastic to hear everyone's perspectives. It'd be great to also hear the results and what's come out of all this research and maybe some next steps or action steps that we'd want listeners to take.
So I'll start off. One thing I want to start off saying is we're still trying to figure out. So we have some findings, and we thought, you know, we asked young people what could be done better, you know. So we got answers like training, better training for the police. We got better screening for who becomes a law enforcement officer. Some examples like that. But I think through our team, we were able to actually identify the sort of structural issue. And so I think there's multiple levels where we want to share our findings both back to the young people at Grace Place and get their thoughts and perspective. And then also, you know, dialogue with the police and others in the community, because really, how do we think about developing alternative systems so that young people can, you know, be stably housed successfully, which is sort of the root of this problem in terms of what we were seeing in terms of like the when you are homeless, you know, you got to survive. And, you know, the police come into those situations for a lot of reasons that make sense. So I think there's multiple levels, right? Those interactions could be better, and we have ideas and thoughts for how those interactions could be better. And then how could we think more broadly as a system about how we can get, you know, we could eliminate homelessness among young people, obviously. How do we get, you know, housing intervention paired with law enforcement intervention or together with that? And there's, you know, lots of people have done innovative thinking around this, both within the police, you know, in partnership with police, and then outside of, and, you know, with the abolitionist perspective of thinking outside of police systems to something else. And so I think our findings can just be part of the dialogue around that. And that's kind of my next step is to think like, okay, who else needs to be part of this conversation that we've, now that we've done these focus groups, and we've done our research on them, we've done, you know, an analysis process, and we have some findings, like, let's keep talking about this because we have some new information to inform the conversation.
I think another space in looking at kind of the themes and what came up from the results was looking really at the pervasiveness of how involved law enforcement was in the lives of these young adults, that they were involved in kind of pathways leading to experiences of homelessness. They were involved in during the time that an individual was experiencing homelessness, and also still as part of the interactions after that, a consequence also perpetuated the housing instability. So really just looking at how intertwined really those two experiences are, that intersection is a space that deserves to be teased out more, to not just us deciding like what the solution is, but really, again, bringing people to the table to give voice to what potential solutions are, right? That it's not just about this one focus group study, but this is the start of a conversation. This is furthering the conversation and seeing how that, you know, can create change. And it's a space I think that everyone can get involved in.
I like what you were saying, Allie, about like solutions or findings. Like, I don't know. I don't think we really got to the findings, like a really concrete, solid one answer or two answers. Like homelessness and the police are just, period, just intertwined. And it has to be, like, it's going to be intertwined. They're going to have interactions with law enforcement. But, dang, I still forgot the main point.
The solutions for it, right? Like,
well, I mean, so far, I think Houston, the Simmons Foundation, break it down even further, the GCSW are onto some good stuff. I don't think they found the findings yet, but the system, I mean, it hasn't worked out yet, but there's other entities and mediums like the University of Houston who are making game-changing, revolutionary stuff by starting research and starting a conversation about homelessness and youth homelessness and these vulnerable populations. So I think those are some results right there. Because like you're talking about going back to Grace Place and presenting what we have to them, and these people, like these individuals, are still homeless, so they couldn't give us a concrete answer on a result. You know what I mean? Because they're still in the midst of homelessness. Mm-hmm. But I think it's still a great place to start anyway. And we go back, I don't know, we have stuff to show, but the lived expertise, Andre's a lived expertise, because he's somebody who's from Montrose and who came from Grace Place. We met him at one of the focus groups. That was the extraordinary parts about it. You know what I mean? And now he's on the other side of the table too, or the other side of the fence, whether he realizes that or not. I think that's some of the findings in itself, I think, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Just lives being changed. You know what I mean? Now we don't have any like academia like results yet, but those are some good results.
I would say we actually do have academia type results, right? And so like, I love that we're on this podcast talking about this, because the challenge is to not let that, what we write up and put in this journal, just sit there and not actually be used to inform the conversation. And so, you know, cause we had the experience of writing an academic paper about this, and then it could go nowhere. You know, our insights could just sit in the journal that we publish in without them actually, you know, no one in law enforcement in the community or folks that are part of the Coalition for the Homeless, or, you know, there's a lot of money in the community coming in to generate solutions for young people experiencing homelessness in Houston. So, you know, we want our results to just shed light on some things that people might not be thinking about. And I love what you said, Devante, in that, like, just going and talking to people who are in the middle of a deep situation, like they are not in the position to, like, you know, see the structural barriers that in which they're embedded. Right. But that's like how we get, you know, these dialogues, these conversations, getting through this, like that's what we as researchers can bring in partnership with folks who are a little bit on the other side, like you, Devante, and then, you know, bringing people in and having these, you know, so many perspectives at the table. I'm hoping that we get from, you know, the paper that sits in the journal to actually some like real solutions.
And I think that's one of the most exciting pieces of this whole project, is that it started with the goal of bringing young adults with lived expertise into to have a seat at the table, and us to go back to these individuals who did participate, right, to keep those, to grow the table, to have additional people at the table to help form those solutions. That solutions are not made like just in the silo of an academic journal, but really one of the reasons why we have bad policy is because we haven't allowed all the people at the table. So being able to bring individuals to craft those solutions, I think is a really exciting space to be in.
I want to thank you all for being here today, and thank you for all the work that has inspired action, and this action inspired by your research. You are all shedding light on ideas that people aren't thinking about, training dialogues, and being able to look at this and have research not just be placed in a journal, but look at laws that are criminalizing individuals and challenges that are happening every day, such as homelessness or mental health, and wanting to create supportive resources that support human nature, and being able to focus on the whole person, not just parts, and being able to see the full story. And these things happen not here just locally in Houston, but nationally across the United States, and even worldwide. So thank you all. Thank you for shedding light and continue to do this work. And we look forward to reading all the articles that you guys publish from this work. We look forward to connecting with listeners through the reflection and conversations. Stay in touch or share your thoughts by tagging us on Twitter at GCSW Here Lab. Rate our show, leave us a review, and subscribe so you can learn all about things Here Lab and can cultivate change in research procedures, policy, and impact practice. Bringing the fun to research. This is the Here Lab. Your host, Anil, signing off.